40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to the Foxes of Leicester City, who are celebrating a fairy tale season and their first English Premier League football title. The Foxes didn't even have to get on the pitch to clinch the championship. Tottenham Hotspur, the only club with a mathematical chance of catching Leicester, needed 3 points and a victory to stay in the race Monday. But Tottenham drew 2-2 with host Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, a result that sparked an outpouring of celebration in the East Midland city of Leicester. Fans gathered in the city center to wave Leicester City flags, honk car horns, and cheer and dance in the streets. Let's listen in now to some of the jubilant Leicester City fans.
You know, little Leicester, nobody would have thought it, would you? 5,000 to 1 outside at the beginning of the season. Absolutely unbelievable. Like I say, £22 million team. Can't compete with like mighty Man United's and your Liverpool's and your Arsenal's. £22 million and we've won the league.
We are the champions!
I just want to say I love you, Claudio Ranieri. You're my idol. I'm getting a tattoo of him on my leg next week. Yeah, Claudio Ranieri tattooed on my thigh.
Best day of my life. Best day of Leicester City's life. Best day of the city's life. Everything. Today, the city is blue. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic that this season is a starting point. We can build on this. And I think we can do good again next season. So don't write us off again, basically.
We do! We love this!
It is. It's one of the greatest nights. It's a dream come true. We still feel like we're in the dream world, you know.
It feels like I'm still pinching myself, hoping to wake up anytime soon. But it's real.
The scale of the achievement, it hasn't sunk in. It won't sink in until, you know, when I hear the Champions League ringing out and when you see Wes Morgan lifting that trophy, who 2 years ago was a donkey, basically. He couldn't defend almost, and now look at him. He's going to be a Premier League winning captain. It's unbelievable. Every single player has fought like lions. You know, Harry Kane's tweeted that thing, but we're the Lions. We fought hard and we deserve every single thing. And, you know, if we go down next season, if, you know, we mess up next season, we couldn't give a flying. You know what I mean? Because they've fought hard and this season is the greatest season that you'll ever see in the Premier League.
Say champion!
You know, it may not happen again, but I don't care, mate. For to make history like this, and such a fairy tale about Leicester City, you know, just unheard of. You know, at the beginning of the season, and perhaps last season as well. But now to see this and this crowd, I mean, it's just fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
An absolutely fantastic season for the Foxes of Leicester City, who, as that first fan said, were 5,000 to 1 outsiders at the beginning of the season to win the Premier League. But the humble but feisty Foxes defied the massive odds, winning the first top-flight championship in the 132-year history of the club. Keep in mind, VOA football fans, only 7 years ago, Leicester was playing third division soccer in England. And last year, the Foxes were in danger of relegation to the second tier. Congratulations to the Foxes of Leicester City, one of world sport's biggest surprises, the 2015-2016 English Premier League champions. The Rio 2016 Olympic torch relay began its journey around Brazil Tuesday morning in Brasilia. After leaving the country's capital, the torch will visit a series of towns in Brazil's rural heartland. The first 10 torchbearers include a host of Brazilian sports stars, including two-time Olympic volleyball champion Fabiana Claudino and world surfing champion Gabriel Medina. Joining us now to tell us more about Brasilia and the Olympic torch relay is our friendly Olympic reporter, Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Paralympic greetings, Sonny. Rio de Janeiro, the Olympic city, was the capital of Brazil during the Portuguese monarchy period and decades of the new republic. Nowadays, before anything happens in Rio, it actually starts in Brasilia, the young 56 years old capital of this giant continental country, where at this very moment arrives the Olympic torch, among the crossfire of a process of impeachment of the president and proceeding investigations of a world record of grafts in the very heart of the government. We don't know yet how the outcomes of that will affect or not the Olympic Games. The Olympic torch arrived in Brasilia this morning after leaving Greece last week, and Brasilia will be a movable feast throughout the day celebrating the torch relay startup in the Brazilian soil towards the Maracanã Stadium on August 5th for the opening ceremony. It will be 95 days, 20,000 kilometers, 10,000 air miles, carried by 12,000 people, passing by more than 300 cities, including remote places such as Fernando de Noronha, an island more than 200 miles from the coastline.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Olympic flame.
This was a sound fraction of firing the Olympic torch in 1936 opening ceremony in Berlin, when the forever remarkable and inspiring Jesse Owens proved there is no supremacy of race on Earth. If there should have any supremacy among people, it should be a relay of goodwill to win in sports, equally and sportly disputed. So this is one way of describing the importance of the Olympic torch. But also during the next 3 months, the entire world will be exposed to the Olympic sponsors' brand names and products, watching, reading, and hearing about Brazil. It's many samples of poor infrastructure people's poverty, contrasting with pockets of modern lifestyles and means, filled with the characteristic smile and ways of life of Brazilians. Rio synthesizes well the country's spirit, at least to overcome problems with a unique Brazilian way. This is the last hope, told us a source related to the organizers. But again, transportation, security, and health are areas where locals struggle since ever, and visitors, including athletes, will not lack to have a true experience. While Zika and chikungunya viruses is still real threats, the swine flu has been killing people in Rio at a rate of 5 per month in 2016, official numbers. The daughter of the interim governor of Rio was assaulted 2 days ago in front of her home address in an upper-class neighborhood. Half dozen cases of lost bullets from shooting between police and drug dealers killed civilians in this year. And these are everyday headlines in Rio. The last week, a not-so-old issue became a headline, too. The typical Alton Sea and Rivers tide made a huge stream of waste to arrive on the beach, as well as from the lagoon of Jacarepaguá around the Olympic Village and to the very pier of the newly built Museum of the Future, the first construction inaugurated this year as the Olympic legacy. Pride, friendship, and respect are the meanings of the torch chosen by the sponsor of the Relay 95 Days event, very in line with what we see as we visit some venues like sailing, athleticism, swimming, boxing. The sport venue is probably the only occasion where a man or a woman says, "I can win you." And when he or she fails, we'll get back a hug and a handshake from the winner. For the sunny side of sports, I am Luis Piazet in Rio de Janeiro.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. There are question marks about whether Russian star Maria Sharapova will compete at the Rio Olympics after she tested positive for a drug banned in January. Dan Friedel of VOA's Learning English department is following the Sharapova story, and Dan joins us now here in Studio 22. Dan, welcome back to the sunny side of sports.
Hi, Sonny. Happy to be here as usual.
Dan, I understand VOA's Learning English department has a story up on its website about Maria Sharapova.
It's one of our top viewed stories in the last week. We have a lot of readers commenting about Sharapova's status. We're getting close to the height of Grand Slam season with the French Open, Wimbledon, and then later on in late summer, the U.S. Open coming up. And then in between, tucked in there, will be the Olympic tennis tournament. A lot of people want to see Sharapova compete at the Olympics, at least later on this year in August, but it's not clear whether she's going to get the chance.
What are some of the readers saying, Dan, about your Sharapova story?
One reader, Slava from Russia, says, "The earth travels around the sun, but not around the tennis ball."
I kind of like that.
It's very poetic. I think he's making the point that Sharapova got caught for using this banned substance called meldonium, which harkens back to the old Soviet Union and was actually given to soldiers who were part of the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. The idea was that it was going to help the soldiers who were carrying heavy loads recover from their efforts climbing up high mountains in thin air, recover from their efforts faster. And it's become widespread among athletes from Russia and Eastern Europe that they're using this drug. It was put on the banned list starting on January 1st of this year, and athletes throughout the world of sports were told multiple times that it was going to be on the list. Now, the World Anti-Doping Association had banned a lot of athletes early this year, including Sharapova, for testing positive for this drug. But the organization has been backtracking a little bit lately because it's not clear what the concentration of the drug would be in somebody's system a few days or weeks after they might have taken their final dose at the end of 2015. So Sharapova tested positive at the Australian Open, which was in January. Now she is in line for a hearing with the International Tennis Federation as to what her punishment might be. She's currently suspended. The French Open starts in just a matter of weeks, so she's definitely not going to be in that tournament.
What type of permanent suspension, I guess that's the phrase, does Sharapova face should she be found guilty?
If it's a full suspension with no finding of extenuating circumstances or therapeutic use exemption, she could be suspended for up to 4 years, which probably would end her career. I mean, Sharapova has been in the tennis scene for starting when she was a teenager, and now she's getting toward her later years for a tennis player. If she did get a four-year ban, she probably would be forced to retire. Another one of our readers, a reader from the U.S., Fanny Butler says she should pay the consequences for overlooking the notifications of the Federation. there really is no excuse. I mean, somebody like Sharapova has all sorts of agents and lawyers and trainers and people looking out for her, for them to have missed the fact that this drug that she was using, she says she was using starting in 2006 for various health problems, that they should be responsible for not knowing that it was banned and helping her get off of the drug, or perhaps finding a new drug that she could use to deal with some of these problems she had, like low iron concentration in her blood, things like that. So it'll be interesting. There's a hearing coming up. We're not exactly sure when it's going to happen. It could take up to 3 months for a decision to be made. And that'll probably come down right before the Olympics. So we might see whether or not she's going to get in sometime in July.
Now, Dan, you mentioned how other Russian athletes, as well as those from Eastern Europe, have been found tested positive for using meldonium. Do you see a bleed over into, say, Russia's track and field program? I know Russia faced sanctions from the IAAF, that sport's world governing body.
So one of the reasons meldonium was put on the list at the end of 2015 is that at the European Games in Baku, Azerbaijan, almost 500 positive tests came out of that competition, including tests from medal winners. So the other interesting note is that it's in other sports too, ice hockey, for example. There was the World Championships for under 18 ice hockey. The entire 18-year-old Russian team had to be replaced at the last minute because Russia realized they were all going to test positive for meldonium. They got a wholesale replacement. The 17-year-old team went in their place. And there have already been 172 positive tests for meldonium in 2016. The legal argument is that the athletes could say that they took their final dose at the end of 2015. And the World Anti-Doping Association needs to come to a determination about what the threshold will be for that concentration in an athlete's body of the drug. If they're above the concentration, they probably will get a long ban. If they're below, they might get a second chance.
Finally, Dan, Maria Sharapova, one of the most glamorous players in tennis. How do you see this drug scandal affecting her reputation? Is it irreparable?
I've been surprised that Sharapova has so much support. I would say that it's about 50-50. People think that she is guilty of an infraction. Other people think that she should be given a second chance. So if you think about it, like the Pepsi and Coke argument, right? Coke might be the dominant soft drink, but Pepsi can still do pretty well with a small fraction of the audience. Same thing. I mean, if Sharapova loses 50% of her fans, she's still going to have 50% of her fans left. The question is whether she's going to continue to be marketable after this. Three of her big sponsors, Nike, Porsche, and Tag Heuer, all dropped her right away. So we'll see what happens later on this year if she starts to pop up in any future television or magazine ads.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, it's the story of the sports world right now is Leicester City winning the EPL, the English Premier League, after this tie between the Tottenham Hotspur and Chelsea 2-2. They drew in their match. That gives Leicester City the win. They never won. I mean, it's been over 100 years.
Great story.
A Cinderella great story. It really is, you know, and that's, you know, the term that we use in the NCAA tournament when, you know, a team kind of comes out of nowhere and wins a Cinderella story. It really is for this team as well. 5,000-1 odds. And that's really reflective on the social media, which is, you know, a lot of things have changed since the club was formed. It's been quite a while, but one of the big things is this digital media that we now live in. And so you're seeing, I saw a video, Jamie Vardy, who's one of the stars of the team. They all gathered at his house to watch this match. And as soon as the whistle blew, you see them all going crazy. And you're watching it all from their perspective because they had it on their phone. They were filming it and posted it to social media.
Wow.
So you're getting kind of an inside look, which is great. You're getting a lot of fans around the world that are just thrilled. I saw some pictures of actually some sportscasters who were calling the game between Tottenham and Chelsea, and they were just crying because they were Leicester City fans or they knew how historic this was. Adele tweeting out, you know, she's a Tottenham fan, but she tweeted out and she said, "What an inspiration." And in typical Adele fashion, she used some four-letter language to congratulate Leicester. But, you know, just around the world, a huge excitement about this. And not just in England, really is, you know, I've seen some of the social media heat maps all through the U.S. People talking about this in Africa, Latin America. Really, it was a global story.
I know some of those bigger clubs like Chelsea and Manchester United, Arsenal, the Gunners, they have their fan clubs all over the world and lots of support. Do you think the Foxes of Leicester will be attracting new fans now because of this great triumph?
I think they definitely already have, for sure. And I think they will continue to do so and attract a lot of sponsorships and money too. One of the stats that I saw on social media was that this win could net them up to $200 million coming into the club. So that would be huge for them. So maybe they can, you know, sign some big name players or something. It, you know, remains to be seen how they might go about doing that.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Getting back to that Tottenham-Chelsea match, Andrew, Harry Kane, the big star for Tottenham, the EPL's leading goal scorer, he knocked in his 25th goal against Chelsea, but maybe he did something on social media that he kind of regrets.
Yeah, this is what I call our Jason Terry Award of the day. Jason Terry, we talked about, as our listeners might remember, he was the Houston Rockets player who said, "Oh, we've got this. We're going to win. We're going to beat the Golden State Warriors." And then not only did his team lose to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA playoffs, but he didn't score any points. So at least Harry Kane at least scored a goal. But he on Instagram a couple of weeks ago said that they were hot on the tails of Leicester City, and he thought his team could make a comeback. He tweeted out, put on Instagram, a picture of a pack of lions. And that did not happen, unfortunately for him, as we saw last night. So, again, Jamie Vardy tweeting out just a picture of a lion from The Lion King kind of clawing its way up the cliff, falling down the cliff. So, and just put ... you know, no words necessary. A picture is worth 1,000 words here, from King Mufasa from The Lion King falling down this cliff. But to Harry Kane's credit, he did come back and said, you know, he's proud of his team and his club, and congratulations to Leicester on what they've achieved. He said, finally, thanks to all the fans. So he's giving the fans credit, he's giving his team credit, but he is paying credit where credit's due, and that's to Leicester after their big victory.
I would imagine a lot of the other EPL players are also paying tribute to Leicester for their just fantastic season.
Yeah, it's one of those things that really is, it's a feel-good story, and so even if your team did not win, you're just, you know, so thrilled for all these guys. You know, I've heard them described on social media as kind of a ragtag group, as, you know, the team you would never expect to win. Certainly not with 5,000-to-1 odds. I mean, the odds certainly back that up. But I think there's just a lot of support and a lot of excitement for this team. It's kind of a feel-good story for sure.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And we'll see you on Wednesday. Congratulations once again to the Foxes of Leicester City, the EPL champions. And that wraps up the May 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer John Dryden, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
May 3rd is World Press Freedom Day. This day of observance was established by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, to raise awareness of the importance of press freedom. This year, UNESCO is highlighting the fact that a free and independent media are crucial to human advancement and development. At this time of turbulence and change across the world, including new challenges that require global cooperation and action, the need for quality information has never been so important, said Director General of UNESCO Irina Bokova. This requires a strong environment of press freedom and well-functioning systems to ensure the people's right to know. Yet, over the past several years, in every part of the world, we see an accelerating trend by both state and non-state actors to stifle media and internet freedom. According to the recently issued State Department country reports on human rights, in too many countries, governments crack down on the fundamental freedoms of expression and association by jailing reporters for writing critical stories, and they did so in numerous and varied ways. Some passed new laws or used existing laws to selectively persecute, harass, intimidate, and prosecute journalists, independent media, and bloggers critical of the sitting regime or its actions. Others chose to view criticism as a targeted insult and chose to prosecute journalists under new or existing, frequently vaguely worded laws against insulting the head of state or the government. Elsewhere, a government used anti-terror and insult laws to prosecute journalists and to either drive opposition media outlets out of business or to bring them under state control. And so, on this day, let us remember the crucial role that free media play in keeping society free and healthy. Let us stand up in support of journalists under threat and of media in danger of being censored or shut down. And remember those journalists who lost their lives while exercising their profession. The world must unite in the global campaign to end impunity for crimes committed against journalists, since some 90% of crimes committed against journalists have gone unprosecuted, and less than 7% of cases in which journalists have been killed have been resolved. Far from threatening the democratic process, wrote Secretary of State John Kerry in his preface to this year's Human Rights Report, a free press and open civil society are the release valve and lifeblood of a thriving democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lino Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. We'll discuss Burundi's violence and security. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.